Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we get the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Today's guest goes without exception. He is the co-founder of Five Star Painting, as well as the co-founder of the home service platform Five Star Franchising, Mr. Scott Abbott. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick.
It's a pleasure to have you.
Let's go.
And then absolutely.
In terms of one of the most amazing people I know, let's go, right, Nick?
Let's go. Absolutely. Well, Scott, so many folks say, I didn't necessarily raise my hand and choose franchising. Franchising has a way of finding people. So I'm curious, Scott, what's your story? How did franchising find you?
Yeah, great question. And that definitely comes back to the beginning of time in the five-star world. So it was around 2003, and I was at a friend's wedding, a guy that I'd known since high school. And some friends of mine, who were really close friends throughout high school, flew in for that wedding from Edmonton, Alberta. And one of them, Chad Jones, who's one of the co-founders and still very close friend, was at the time running a basement renovation company. And there was another co-founder named Connor Kolba, who I'd known since he was 15. And he was running a little painting company called, I think it's called Five Star Enterprises, or maybe Coal Star Enterprises, or something like that. I can't remember the exact name. But they came into the wedding, and as we're at this wedding, we're just chatting and catching up. And I was pursuing other interests at the time and was pursuing an undergrad in business. And the business I had been working on, the project, was not working out. It was not really coming to fruition. And I was looking to do something different and taking a job at an accounting firm called BDO Dunwoody, which I hated with all my life. It was my only real attempt at trying to fit inside a conglomerate or some large organization that we had to wear suits all day long. It was one of the hardest times. Driving to the office was just hell. Hated it. Anyway, great company. It's nothing to do with the business or the people, because the people at BDO were great. The organization was wonderful. Suits are just too stuffy for me. Accounting environment with big offices, it's just not who I am. And so recognizing that, I was plotting my escape. And at this wedding, these two friends of mine were talking about how they were experiencing some real struggles trying to expand their little painting construction company in Edmonton to Calgary, Saskatoon, and Vancouver. And what they had done right was they're very aggressive at marketing, but they really just had, in every instance, a bad example or a bad thing would happen. Like the local manager of the operation in Calgary would steal customers. The guy in Vancouver would steal money. There was just constantly this problem where whoever they put in place in those markets really just didn't have an ownership mentality. And so as we were talking about this problem, I said, well, look, I'm really interested in building something really big. I had felt like painting was just the business that everyone needs at some point. And I said, leave this with me. I'm going to do some research and we're going to franchise this thing. What the hell is franchising? And I said, well, I don't know really how it works because I've never done it before. But I had known that my dad, years before that, when I was younger, had been involved in franchising. He was selling or getting involved in sales of a franchise concept called Koya Japan, which is like a Japanese kind of franchise fast food concept and a couple others. And I remember hearing about how it would work and how it was a market or a territory. And then from that, they'd build their own business. And I just knew the problem we had to solve was we needed to make sure that in every market we had opened up in, we needed to have someone who owned it, someone who had that ownership mentality, that paid for it, had skin in the game, and weren't going to go anywhere. So we got to work. In fact, I think we painted the house of our first franchise lawyer as trade to get the FDD written. And back then, this is up in Canada, Wild Wild West of franchising, where back in those days was called the UFOC, not the UFC. It was the Uniform Franchise Offering Circular, was what it was called in the United States. In Canada, we didn't have anything. There was no real like laws. A couple of provinces, I think Ontario required something, but Saskatchewan and Alberta and BC and Manitoba, which is where we were really starting, didn't really have any laws. And so we could just kind of just sell franchises and say what we wanted to say, and it didn't matter. There was no real governing law. But in order to expand to the States, we needed to have that stuff put together. So we started getting to work on that. And yeah, I mean, it was really interesting because as we were working on solving the problem of creating a business opportunity for somebody, we opened up a location in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which is where I was living. And we used to have these yard signs out. I'm sure you do them too, Nick. After every job you do, you put the lawn sign up saying line painting, it's on your truck. When you're not busy and there's not enough calls, you go plant them on some corners of different streets. It was all hustle. You know, it was all hustle back then too. And I had built a website and I was running tests using this website and phone numbers to find out what was working, what wasn't working in the marketplace. And it's just funny how life works. This guy, his name was Alan Turner, 6'4", black belt in Kung Fu, nicest man ever, soft-spoken, but very confident. And he saw one of my lawn signs and he called me up and he's like, hey, I wanted to buy a CertaPro, but I found you guys. I think you're better. Yeah, we are. He paid that full franchise fee like everyone else did and bought Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada as our very first franchise territory. And it happened at a time just when I was moving down to Utah to do my MBA and open up some locations down in the States. And yeah, that was just kind of the first sale, the one of many to come. And it's all hustle in those days. It was all hustle. But franchising, what spoke to me, even though I didn't understand the model very well, is giving ownership of that business to somebody, giving them the ability to create their own business. It made all the difference. They now cared about that a lot more than a job. And it's a beautiful thing. People are paying to help you expand. And then they are now committed. It was just the perfect model for us.
The fact that your dad was involved with franchising sounds like it gave you the familiarity, the confidence to say, franchising is a model that we can take this business that's in high demand that people always need and grow and take it beyond just this small painting business. So I'm curious, Scott, how did you meet your partner, Chad? How did he get involved? How did you guys end up working together?
Yeah, fun story. So I'm Mormon or LDS, or what do you want to call it? I belong to my faith and been that way since I was a young kid. And I was in this little small chapel in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Chad just moved in from out east. I think he came in from Toronto and he was like 11 years old. And new kid in the block shows up to church on Sunday, sitting beside each other and goofing off and having a great old time. That's where we met. I can still remember the day I met him. We became close friends from that day forward. And I always had a lot of respect for Chad. He's such a good person and just tons of fun. And he's the kind of person that I knew I'd want to work with and be a business partner with. He definitely cares about people, wants to be successful. He's very, very open-minded to ideas and being aggressive in business and very, very positive. You know how hard business can be and starting a company. You know how challenging it can be. There are moments in anyone's business where you can question whether or not it was a good decision. And Chad just was just a force of positivity, of knowing it'll work out and being willing to take some really big sacrifices early on in the business to get an outcome we all wanted. And so he was just the perfect partner.
I always say that business is the ultimate personal development course. You know, everyone has different traits and elements that they need to close gaps on in order to meet their goals and create something from nothing. It's just that, a personal development course. But I always say, in addition to that, that personally, from my own experience, I've always been delusionally optimistic. And I think it requires...
I call that irrational exuberance.
Yep. And so I can see how Chad brings that to your partnership. So how long have you guys known each other? I mean, my gosh, it must be quite some time now.
37 years, 36 years.
Wow. And still business partners. So it's going great.
Yeah, it is. It's been great. It's been awesome.
So I'm curious, why the name Five Star Painting?
That's a really good question. So first of all, coming back to the roots, my roots of Winnipeg, Manitoba, the Scranton, Pennsylvania of Canada, very blue collar town, and not a lot of money was around there in Winnipeg, Manitoba. There wasn't a lot of really big successful companies. It was known as a test market even for a lot of businesses. They'd launch a concept in Winnipeg. They knew if they could make it in Winnipeg, they could make it anywhere. It was just a tough market. And being very cost conscious, it's just part of my DNA. It's being scrappy. It's just deep in there. I can't get it out. And this whole idea of providing five-star quality, that the five-star price was our motto. We're going to give people an amazing experience with them to pay for an amazing experience. And that's where that name really stuck. It's just, you know, five-star is a kind of the gold standard of service in anything. And we mix that with the fact we can get things done at an affordable rate. You know, it resonated with the marketplace.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially as Google became more and more prevalent and getting five-star ratings. I mean, that just had to have been a really great name. I mean, it clearly still is an amazing name, but it seems like it was pretty innovative at the time. It was right in line with Google becoming a prevalent way to go on and find service providers or just anybody online.
You know, it's funny how that works, isn't it? How it sounds so innovative today. At the time, it seemed so natural. I didn't think it was brilliant at all. In fact, there were many times we thought about, I'll even share this with you. We started another company and it was called, I had two painting names I ran for a full year, like two painting companies with identical websites. It was just a name that changed, Paintworks. Paintworks, five-star painting. I ran them both side by side for a full year. I had advertising all over the place that would, one, Paintworks was very much high quality, amazing work, amazing service. Five-star painting was, we give you the price in the ad, $99 a room, call now. Call to action. It was very much an experiment of what would drive the most traffic. And five-star painting with our form of advertising drove on one yellow page ad, we used to buy a quarter page ad in the yellow pages, would drive about 4 times the call volume. So 4 to 1 over an ad of the same size, but using a different message right beside it. So if you called up, my call center would say five-star painting and then hang up. And if it rang again, it was Paintworks. Oh, Paintworks, and then it would go to the same painting crew. We just change our t-shirts. And so we actually ran an experiment to find out like what business. So it was just the customer spoke. That's who told us what the name should be. We let the innovation was probably just the fact we were willing to listen to the customer and in our experiment. And I'd say the other thing that was very innovative about our painting company is we were the only company that I'm aware of ever in painting to tell people what it would cost to paint their house in the ad. Or on our lawn signs. Everything we had that would go out there would say $99 a room. We really focused on interior first, exterior second. In fact, 80% of our work was interior for a while until we started expanding into the United States and getting more focused on exterior work. And even then, it only ever really got to 50-50. If you can believe that, like 50% of our work was interior. And I know in your business, you're like probably 80, 90% exterior. That's where all the money's at. And the reality is we viewed this as, once again, in business, it's all about being different. I don't care what you are. Just don't be like everybody else. And so what we realized was that most painting companies weren't focused on the interior. We also realized that customers are very picky about who they let into their home. So clean, on time, on budget was our motto. This was all on all of our ads. Cleanliness really matters if you're in the house. So those things resonated with customers. They were willing to call us. And we also found that our close rate on interior jobs was almost 2x our close rate on exterior jobs. Because they'd only call us and maybe one other person come to a bid inside. But on the exterior, they'd call 4 or 5 companies. And on the exterior, they didn't care about using paint on you if you weren't looking sharp or if your truck wasn't wrapped or all those things. But they did care about that if you're coming in the house. And if you showed up and you weren't clean cut, via tattoos all over your arm and your face, and you look like you weren't reputable in some way, they would use you in your exterior of the house, but they wouldn't want you to come inside the house. And so those are things that we just found were competitive points we could use, and it worked. Like we just closed more on the interiors, we got more interior jobs or calls, and it was just innovation, or was it just being scrappy, aggressive guys trying to make it work? I don't know what it is, but that's how we got the painting thing going.
And the Serta Pro was, at that time when you were starting, do you recall how many locations they had?
Yeah, I want to say they had like 150. They've been at it for a while. And I think they're going their 35th year, maybe 40th year of franchising at this point. We started our thing 18 years ago. So they really started with College Pro, which was a student franchise concept, student painting concept. And then they expanded that to CertaPro as a full-time year-round concept. So they've been in the painting game for a while with CertaPro, and then moved, or with College Pro, moved to CertaPro. And there's no question, we looked at them as leaders. They created the space, and we just kept saying, we're going to try harder. We're the Avis of painting. We're going to try harder. We're going to work harder. We're going to hustle harder. And while I have a lot of respect for, I have still a lot of respect for CertaPro and their team and the people there, I am proud to say, I can't think of one time I didn't sell somebody that was looking at a CertaPro and us. It was like, my favorite thing ever was when someone would say, yeah, I went to the CertaPro Discovery Day. I'm like, oh, we're closing you. You're done. Locked and loaded every time. So there is some advantage to being the second mover. You get to learn from all the mistakes of the first mover and improve upon the mousetrap considerably. So.
Absolutely. I definitely have a tremendous amount of respect for CertaPro and yourself, Five Star. You definitely paved the way for the business model in painting, specifically in franchising. And hearing some of the scrappiness, as you refer to it as, that trial and error and really adjusting to what consumers are looking for. Personally, I look at the name Five Star and I just see it as being so relevant for exactly what day and age we're in now, which is Google and five-star ratings. And even though you may have not been very intentional about it, I really think that, this is just my opinion, I really think that from a consumer standpoint, there's something subconsciously about five-star painting. It's a five-star experience. And clearly, painting was just being standardized. There was CertaPro and yourself with five-star. It was new. And from a consumer standpoint, they have this new national standardized five-star painting experience. I can just see how that must have been a ton of fun and taking that to new markets and bringing a lot of value to consumers and allowing and giving that platform to franchise partners to exercise that entrepreneurialism in with that winning formula. So on that vein there, Scott, what are some tips that you have around supporting franchise partners? That's a unique thing. It's not in every business model. And so I'm just curious, what are some tips that you've gained over your career in supporting painting franchise owners?
Yeah. So today we own Five Star Franchising. We have six different brands we support all under that platform. And I think about things in the same way now as I thought about them back then. With any franchise partner, you're trying to figure out what can you do for them that they cannot do for themselves. Or if they were to do for themselves, it would be so cost prohibitive, they may not decide to do it. And so this is where franchising is so powerful. Like it is, it's why I love the model. It's why I'll spend my whole career here. It's because you can take the benefit of specialization in any category and bring in the best talent in those categories. But because it's intellectual property, it can be replicated across every territory. So as an example, in probably one of the most obvious ones for us, we started with a call center from the very beginning. A franchisee could hire an office manager and pay them $60,000 a year. But when you're starting a business, do you really want to spend an extra $4,000 or $5,000 a month on one full-time person to sit there and just wait to answer the phone? It's cost prohibitive. It doesn't make sense when you're only getting 20 or 30 phone calls a month. But yet the customer experience is so critical. If you want to offer a five-star experience, you got to get that right from the beginning, the moment they engage with your brand, to the end, to when the product has been paid for. You have to make sure every step along the way is absolutely superior so you get a five-star rating, which I'll just share this with you. I had some fun with this. When we sold Five Star Painting in 2015, a lot of research is done in your company. They do tons of diligence. And they hired a group to go and look at every review that was ever left anywhere on the internet for a five-star painting. And so now I knew this was happening, but I didn't know the results. They don't share all the information with you. And so years later, I'm speaking at an event. It was a couple of years ago. And someone comes up to me and she says, I'm so happy to meet you. I'm like, oh, great to meet you too. And she's like, well, I want you to know that I worked on your project. I said, well, what do you mean? She's like, well, I was hired by the group that purchased your five-star painting in 2015 to do research and find out how well you ranked in the marketplace. And she said, I've never seen as high marks. It's my profession. This is all I do, is customer experience research. I've never seen in my entire experience ever as high ratings as you've had at Five Star Painting than any brand in home services ever. So I took great pride in that. So coming back to, once again, doing for your franchisees what they can't do for themselves, or it would be cost prohibitive. So for us, we provided that call center. And then next level, right? So there's just answering the phone, but now innovating, it's actually one of our values at Five-Star Franchising. Innovation, how do you do things better with what you have? So how do you make sure that every interaction with that customer, whether it be text, phone, chat, online scheduling, giving them all the tools possible to let a consumer book any way they want and making that seamless and tracking exactly where it all came from so you can attribute how you're getting the business. So we mastered the art of attribution and customer engagement. Okay, once you've got that, how about marketing? Making the phone ring, getting in front of, how do you actually make the phone ring? Can you do it better than anyone else? And we are really, 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 really good at delivering leads to our franchisees through digital marketing. It's one of our specializations. We do it. We crush it in that category. We bring it down to that cost per lead, cost per call. We would actually, to get you a sense of kind of the obsession, scrappiness that we had at our company, in the early, early days, we had our call center just down from my office. I could hear the phones ring. I could hear all the calls being answered. And I'd listen to them once in a while. And I had like this radar. If that phone rang more than three times, I'd be jumping up out of my desk and walking over and answering it. Like it was like, don't miss one customer. Because we did so much research on, never mind the value of the lead or the revenue derived on average from a bid or the revenue derived on average from certain marketing verticals. We hit it down to, if I could make the phone ring, what was that worth? So if it came from Google or direct mail, if the phone rang, what was that worth? And so it was like, I hear the phone ring. Every time the phone rang, that was $362 I heard ring in my office. You answer that phone because it's $362. Just answering it, you just follow the math. Eventually that leads to revenue to the franchisee. And so we'd have hold conferences and I would ask the question, what is the largest job you've ever got off of one phone call? And I'd have franchisees tell me $400,000, $500,000. So I'd ask the question to our team, if we didn't answer that one phone call, that is $400,000 that someone did not make. So it's that obsession and it's unfair. Like the reality is we can't be perfect. We're going to miss a couple of calls, but how do you do it so that you are as close to perfect as possible? So our obsession around that led to ProNexus, which is Pro stands for home service professional. Nexus means to connect in Latin. We're about connecting consumers with their home service professionals through ProNexus. And it's in the culture, it's in the DNA, it's inescapable. Lead generation, once again, could they go hire a marketing manager? Yes. Could they go hire an agency? Yeah. What's the cost of doing that? It's cost prohibitive, unless you're a business at scale. So you take all that scale that comes from a franchise brand or a concept, and you deliver the value from that scale to the franchisees so that they get the best thing possible, whether it be technology, call center, customer experience, marketing, lead generation, training, coaching. I mean, for most of these franchisees in home services, you know, their average revenue is $500,000, $600,000 a year. It's kind of like the zone they're in. And they're getting people that are being paid $100,000 to $200,000 a year that they could never afford in their business, working on their business every single day, obsessing with the same thing I'm talking about. And so that's where I see the true value of franchise or is the franchisee is for their 6% of sales, they get that bench strength that they could never get on their own, all focused on their brand. And really all of those people in the organization are available to them at a call or an email. And it is, the model's phenomenal. And that's why franchising is continuing to scale and grow so quickly in every category where business ownership is so critical.
It's incredible. And putting your thumb right on it, it's the shared resources and the expertise of the franchisor that franchise owners clearly leverage and benefit from. And you just can't do that as an independent operator, at least at the beginning. And it takes at least 3-4 years to get to scale. And most don't really get to the scale that's needed to really have a lot of those resources in-house. But yet the rest of the market is competing with those resources. And so consumers, they really don't care. They're going to pick the best option. But I want to transition. You mentioned something there. You sold Five-Star Painting. I'm curious, why did you sell Five-Star Painting? And would you mind taking us down that journey?
Yeah, happy to do that. So stepping back for a second, my very first business when I was about 15 and a half, is I started my very first company. And I have a theory, and I think it's pretty true, that for most entrepreneurs, their first business is like literally their child. It's like who they are. They have a hard time detaching themselves from the business. Like the business is me. You can't take this away without taking me away. And from having had a few experiences with entrepreneurship prior to Five Star Painting, it gave me some visibility into that. I wasn't building Five Star Painting to be me. Well, I had taken much of what I knew about business and put it into the company and gave everything I could possibly to make it successful. The reality was that I never felt like Five Star Painting was my child or part of me. So coming to terms with selling it was not difficult. In fact, I knew when we were building the company that we were going to sell it. It was just a matter of time. So as long as we add value to the organization, we continue to run it. And that's not like we couldn't have continued to add value after 2015 when we sold it. But one thing that stuck out to me that kind of opened my mind and made me think a little differently about this was, you mentioned it earlier, and I said it, I call it irrational exuberance. What did you call it?
Optimistically delusional. Delusionally optimistic.
Yep. Delusionally optimistic. Okay. Yep. I love both that. As an entrepreneur, it's irrational to have as much confidence in yourself. I'd never franchised anything, but yet I had all this confidence that I'd be successful. That doesn't make any sense, but it is. That's what confidence can do. You can overcome incredible obstacles when you believe in yourself, when you truly think you can get something done, even though it really doesn't make sense you could. So similarly, with Five Star Painting, we'd been putting everything we could into it, and we walked right into the 2009-2010 recession. And so for the very first time in my life, I experienced something that said, something out there could happen that you have no control over that could take it all away. Doesn't matter how hardworking you are, how smart you are. I was watching people in business that were smarter than me and worked harder than me all over losing their companies because of what happened in 2009, 2010. And so that shook my confidence a little bit and made me think about the bigger this becomes, the greater piece of my net worth is tied up in an asset that is not liquid. And I have five kids. I work. I love what I do, but my family's why I'm here. Like I'm here for them more than anything else. That's more important to me than anything else. So I didn't want to be in a position later on in life where I built something of real true value only to have it taken from me because of some event external to what I could control. So what I did know though was Five Star Painting was going to be huge and would continue to grow without me. As a matter of finding the right partner. And so I met the group from Neighborly, which back then was called Dwyer Group. I was impressed by their team, impressed by the values they held, impressed by the scale that they've achieved. And I approached them and said, listen, I'm ready to move on, but I don't want to give up all my ownership. It's not about me taking all the chips off the table and saying, I don't believe in it any longer. It was me saying, I want to de-risk my life, take some chips off the table, and how much can I roll back in? And so we rolled the maximum they'd let us. And I negotiated up from what they offered to as much as they possibly would let us do. And it was the best decision I ever made. And I can give a lot of thanks to the people at Neighborly and Dwyer Group. They built an amazing company. If I look at the value of the stock that I rolled into in 2015 to the day when we traded out in 2018 and again in 2021, it's about a 10x return on our investment, on the money that we left rolled in. And that's it. This stuff's life-changing. It really was wanting to let Five Star Painting continue to grow. In fact, today, to this day, we still do their call center work. I still do some marketing work for some of their franchisees, and I still provide them their software. They still use our field software to run their business. And I still love it. Business is growing. It's massive. It's done very, very well. We continue to be a small part of that. But it really, for me, was just de-risking my life. And then it's funny because in doing that, I came right back to the thing I love. But no longer for the same reasons, right? Like I'm not here any longer for the money. The money's nice. We do great. We're fine. But we're not here because we need the money any longer. We're here because we love what we do.
Well said. And I can tell you firsthand that personally, I've gone through experiences really just this year that have shown me exactly what you mentioned, the attachment to, like for myself, line painting and how much my personal identity and who I am is tied up in the business. Granted, going through those experiences, I've been able to equate it to, you know, have you ever watched the Spider-Man movie where it's the Venom version, the black suit that comes on and he's trying to tear this thing off and he detaches it. And so I can absolutely relate. I didn't have prior businesses that gave me that experience, but that is very much a real thing. And being on the other side, you're able to run the business in a totally different capacity when the business is no longer associated with who you are, right?
Yeah.
And that's a very important step, at least in my career, that I've had to make. But Scott, you own Five Star Franchising. It's a home services platform. Why is a home services platform beneficial for franchise owners?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And so in the same way why a franchisor is beneficial to a franchisee is the same way a platform is beneficial to a franchisor. It's the same mentality. What can I do for the platform, for the franchise brand that belongs to our group, that it can't do for itself? How do you scale and up-level every part of the business so that the franchise brand that is part of the platform benefits by even better talent, experience, technology, systems, training, support? So in a way, we are making the franchise brand a part of something where they get all the value from an experience from all of the team around how to build the best brand. What I've seen is, I mean, it's incredible. I just look at the last year with all the brands that we've purchased in the last 18 months and what we have done in those companies in terms of raising the bar and leveling up the business. It's been incredible. In some cases, we've seen almost a 3x in profitability for some of the brands that are part of our platform. And people love to win. You love to be on a winning team. I love team sports. I play soccer a lot every Friday and Saturday. I absolutely love it. I'm a very competitive individual. I don't mind losing against people that are amazing competitors. I'm not a sore loser, but I will fight hard to win in every place I play. And in business, I look at the same way. I have a team. We want to win. And there's some scoreboards we have to keep track of whether or not we're bumping the score or not. And the people in the organization that are part of that get the benefit of the feeling that comes from being part of a team that is winning. And it's a great experience. Absolutely love it. So we keep looking at ways. And in all the same things, it's marketing, it's in technology, it's in systems, it's in support, it's in the customer experience. All the same things you give for the franchisee, you're not giving the franchisor to give down to the franchisee and constantly up-leveling the game.
So departmentally, you're able to take your platform's leadership team and complement the existing brand's leadership team, but really add rocket fuel across the systems and bring world-class systems and process and experience and capital to elevate that brand. And ultimately, that all impacts the franchise owner. You know, Scott, something that you said that I really appreciated when I asked you about Five Star Painting being acquired, you said, hey, you know, I went and I found the right partner. And at the time, it was Dwyer Group, now Neighbourly, but they were an organization, a home services platform that you knew aligned with Five Star Painting and would ultimately do just that, level up the brand and take it to the next level. And so clearly you're doing that now with Five Star Franchising. And so when you go through that process of acquiring a brand, what does it look like with the existing leadership team of that brand? How does that integration happen? What does it look like?
This is probably one of the things that most people get concerned about. They see it in movies, they see it on TV shows, they think I'm going to get acquired and they're going to fire all my people. You can't cut your way to growth. We don't buy companies that we don't have a vision for growth with. If we don't believe the business is going to grow, we're not playing. We don't buy businesses and then cut costs to strip out earnings. We buy businesses, invest in businesses to grow. And in growing, that's where we find the profitability. You said it earlier in EOS and Traction, it also comes from good to great. It's this idea of you're driving a bus, there's lots of seats on the bus, and let's say your bus is half full and you stop, and now you're going to pick up five more people and you've got 30 seats left and five people get on and you realize, wow, one of those people is way better in that seat than I have a current position in. You move, you make room. And when we acquire companies, we look at their team and go, how do we integrate with them? And in some cases, how do we elevate them? So one example just happened. We acquired a company called Gutch Covered Blinds. They're in Denver, in your hometown. Awesome company. Paul Lindenberg is the brand president there. An amazing individual, total leader. Love working with him. And one of his team members was in technology. We just promoted to Five Star Franchising platform level as a VP of technology. He's the right guy, had the experience, and we needed him now to elevate the rest of our brands, not just Gutch Covered. Paul was ecstatic for him. It's an opportunity for him to grow in his career. And so that's what happens. In other cases, what is also wonderful is when you pull the bus over at that stop, five people are given the opportunity to get on the bus. They don't have to get on. Five of them may walk on, and one may go, I don't like this bus. I don't like where it's going. And as the bus driver, then my job is to make sure that we all know where we're going. It's very clear what we're trying to achieve. And if that doesn't resonate with you, it's okay. There are lots of businesses that need your services where you could do be an amazing part of that company. And there's no harm or foul in you deciding, I don't want to get on the bus. So we help you transition. So it's not our goal, but a lot of companies talk about we're a family here. And I'm a family man. But with family, you can't change family. You have kids or brothers or sisters or wife. Like, that's it. You're done. With teams, you trade players. You want athletes and competitors that are going to win, that want to win the cup. I saw you on Facebook the other day with you in the cup. If you want to win with a team, everyone on that team has, they've got to be focused on winning, going in the cup. If they don't want the cup, they don't belong in the team. And that's okay. In that analogy, that's the most important thing as we approach acquisitions is that everyone is very clear on their objectives. If someone feels like it's not a good fit for them, it's okay. And in fact, I've gone to great lengths to help people find a job someplace else that I know they would be a fit than have them stay on our team because they weren't a fit. So we're very respectful of people in both ways, whether they're coming on or they want to get off.
Thanks for clarifying that, Scott. And going to your point about the movies, there is such a stigma around what that process can be. But I really admire you for the way you go about it and the culture that you set, the expectations, and really giving that choice. And that's really what it's all about when it comes to a team, everybody being on the same page, understanding the mission, and ultimately accepting that mission and wanting to get on the bus to accomplish that goal, win that cup. Clearly, you're somebody that's passionate about franchising. You said it earlier, this is a space that you will finish your career. You are no longer doing it for the money. You're fortunately in that position where you can show up and truly do it because you love it. So, Scott, why do you love franchising so much?
I'm not going to say this properly, but I'll do my best. The last year's IFA, or this year, I guess it was in February, Charlie Chase, who's one of the founders of SurPro and at First Service Franchising, he's the chairman of the IFA this year. And he was speaking about why franchising. And he was talking about, when you think about the model of franchising, and instead of being part of a conglomerate that owns the whole thing, and you're a cog in the wheel, and you're being paid a salary, which may amount to 0.1%, 0.01% of the entire revenue, it flips that whole model on its head and says, what if we make you the owner? We turn you into the entrepreneur and you own 94% of the revenue and you give us 6% to give you all the tools that you had at the conglomerate that you worked at before. And if you're someone white collar working in a big office environment, you're used to having the accounting department, the finance department, the marketing department, the IT department, the call center department, you're used to having all these logistics, they're all there. Whole swaths of people working in this business in these disciplines. And you are a sales guy and you want all that back office. But now you can do that where you own it. You're building equity for yourself. That is a company you own. It pays you, gives you freedom. It allows you to build something of value. And one day when you're done and you want to retire, you sell that business for a lot of money and you retire a happy person. That's why I love franchising. It gives back way more to the franchisee than in any other business model that I'm aware of, outside of being an entrepreneur by themselves, where they get 100%, but now they got to find a way to build all those departments themselves, which costs way more than 6%. It's like the perfect model. It's the perfect way. And it's why it's, the model is expanding and it's had such great success. And so I just love seeing success rates are like 3, 4, 5X with the marketplace experiences. And I know what it's like to fail. First attempt in learning, I believe someone told me that one time. I know what that's like, to where you tried something and didn't work out. It's hard. It's really hard. And I'd really like to be in a position where I'm helping people avoid those pitfalls so they can be successful.
Yeah, Charlie Chase, my goodness. Charlie Chase of CertaPro said it so well at the IFA conference this year. And you've lived it out so beautifully, Scott. I really admire you, the two of you, your partner, Chad. And I'll add to what you just said. The franchise space is so unique because you're not only in business for yourself, you get all the benefits of entrepreneurialism plus everything else, but you're also in business with others. And that community, that culture, it's unique for every system, every brand. But that being in business with other business owners, you don't get it in any other space. And as you've said it several times, it's exactly why franchising is blowing up. It's such an amazing model. And I look forward to seeing what the future holds for franchising. There's so many amazing leaders and definitely thought leaders and high performers in franchising. Scott, thank you for getting on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's great being on here, Nick. Great to see you. Best of luck to you this year. And let's catch up soon in person.
If anybody is interested in getting in touch with you, Scott, how can they do that?
Yeah, you reach out to me on LinkedIn. So linkedin.com/dscottabbott or email sabbott, S-A-B-B-O-T-T at 5starfranchising.com.
What an amazing show today, right? I'm sure you've leveled up in many different capacities. This is a unique individual here. He's accomplished amazing things. I truly admire and respect him. Please give this video a like. And if you're interested in learning more and leveling up in business, franchising, and high performance, please subscribe, but more importantly, contribute to this conversation. We've covered so much ground. Drop some comments down in the comments. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.